This is October 5th, 2008, and we're continuing our discussion with Gerd Stern, poet of communication. And we're at the point we're looking at events in 1966, and an important thing that happened was the exhibition by ESCO. They created, according to the press release of May 7th, 1966, it says, "Be In," and then the next line, "An Environment by ESCO." May 8th to June 19th, 1966. It says, "From from Sunday, May 8th to June 19th, the Riverside Museum will present a four-room be-in, be-in in quotes, by ESCO. This exhibition will include paintings, sculpture, weaving, poetry, kinetics, electronics, light, and sound." What's interesting, Gerd, is the first sort of famous be-in is in January 67. So was there, were there be-ins in 66, or did you guys coin that?
We coined it.
Very interesting. And this museum is at 310.
What? You're talking about May to June?
Yeah, it's called a be-in.
1966. First of all, what happened was it was only supposed to run that long, but it wound up running for two or so more months because the attendance was so huge. There were lines around the block. Be-in, you know, we coined from, obviously, being, right?
Yes.
And the way it got to the West Coast was through Stuart Brand.
Ah. Because it says here, just looking up, I put in the wiki, be-in, and it says, the human be-in, and maybe that's a particular one, the human be-in was a happening in San Francisco's Golden Gate Park the afternoon and evening of January 14, 1967.
Well, we use that whole phrase, human being, at the Riverside, but it doesn't matter. You know, I don't care whether things are sequential or parallel, you might have noticed.
Yes, but in your world, in your mind, in your group, you coined the phrase. You didn't hear anybody else using it.
No.
Good. Well, that's interesting.
Well, I don't know about good, you know. What is there value in it, or is it just a hopening or a happening?
It just puts up more notches on Gerd was there first.
Oh, the notches.
Gerd did it first. I mean, there's a lot of firsts here.
Are notches delicious?
Yeah, Nietzsche marketing. Not Nietzsche marketing, Nietzsche marketing.
Oh, Friedrich Nietzsche marketing.
Oh, here we go. We got a poem coming. All right, so let's continue with this. So, it's a four-room be-in, B-E-I-N, quote.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the way it's spelled in the Wikipedia. It's hyphenated. Okay.
Down by the Riverside.
ESCO is a group of people, the press release says, at work together on the new electronic environment, making waves, colon, analogs of head and heart for love and peace. "We are all one," says a member. "In a world of simultaneous operations, you don't have to be first to be on top. Our center is an old church at Garnerville, New York, but much of the work comes from individuals and groups in the city and all over the country. As with artisans in traditional societies, the work is essentially anonymous." End of quote. The ESCO show is conceived as a be-in to get out of the art gallery, quote, walk-through world. They're trying to get out of the walk-through to just be still. "Comfortable furniture combined with the pieces will make it possible to spend time living with the work. In one case, visitors will sit in a 14-foot rotating cave. Most of the pieces in this exhibition will be shown for the first time. An early ESCO work, Contact is the Only Love, 1963, has been brought from the San Francisco Museum of Art. It is a 7-foot octagon interlocking rhythms of sound as well as neon, fluorescent, and incandescent lights. The paintings are chakras, totems, waveforms, scriptural messages, tie-dyes, caves, mandalas, premises, portraits, and projections. The sculptures turn, and turn. There will be several works in a newly developed diffraction medium called Ideas of Order. There will be several works in a newly developed diffraction medium," then a new sentence, "Ideas of Order," in quotes, "made of IBM surplus, plays itself a random game a minute of tic-tac-toe. Much of the light and sound environment for this show will be programmed, but some of the variables, including stroboscopic light and oscilloscope images, will be something by those who come.
Operated, maybe?
It ends BLE, like stumble, but it's not stumble. Will be available. All right.
Available.
Though there's no V in that. Will be there by those.
Anyway, I want to see it.
And then it has...
I want to be in that being.
It's a good press release. It's very exciting. So it lists...
Just turned me on.
Good. And you got the Paleolithic metaphor in there. McLuhan said in the 60s we retrieved Paleolithic sensibilities. You got the cave there. Now, on the right side, it lists 33. There's your Freemasonic 33 degrees, I guess. It lists a list of things. It says sun, mandala. 2 is mandala, but 2A is mandala also. Then tiger, black cross weave, vision of the mystic, Buddha light through, Quetzalcoatl, Indian spirits, Siva/Shakti, and then Siva, Earth Song, Siva-Shakti Fire.
Where are you reading all this from?
From your booklet,
from the
collection. Yes, and this press release is, this list is part of the press release.
Yes.
Okay, so it says 14 is spheres, 15 is thousand petal lotus, 15A, Om sign, that's S-I-N-E, 16 garden, 49 bulbs, weather, projection door. Why 49? Is there any number, something about 49?
It was counting something.
Okay.
49 what? What does it say?
Bulbs.
Bulbs. Yeah, we counted the bulbs.
Oh, in the apparatus?
Yeah. And what we were showing.
Okay. Weather. You're going to provide weather. Projection door. Contact is the only love. Blue/gold cube. REM around the rosy. That's REM.
Yeah, Remsen Wood is the guy who developed the diffraction grating.
Oh, okay.
And Rosie was his wife. They've been dead a long time.
The
diffraction company in Riderwood, Maryland.
And what was the name of it?
13,000 lines to the inch.
What was the name of your lawyer at that time? Or there was some guy whose name began with R, Ruby or something.
No, that lawyer, accountant.
Yeah.
Ruben Gorowitz, the artist's accountant, Martha Graham's accountant, Rauschenberg, Johns.
Right, what's his name? What'd you say?
He's dead. Ruben, R-U-B-I-N, Gorowitz,
oh, okay.
G-O-R-E-W-I-T-Z. You know what witz means in German?
No.
Joke.
All right, so the number 22 was REM around the rosy, 23 ideas of order, U-2.
A lot of this stuff no longer exists, lamentably.
You mean as objects?
Yes.
Yeah, 25 is Psalms. That would be the rabbi's influence, right?
Why not? Yes.
Diffraction mosaic, making waves, cave paintings and tie-dyes, mandalic drawings, Baba box, Mayor Baba?
Mayor Baba, sure.
Yeah.
Mayor Baba. I am God, and you are God. The difference is I know I am.
Number 32, my father and I are one. And then 33, zoo. Does that mean the whole environment's a zoo, or you had a bit of a zoo in there?
I don't remember having a zoo, but my father, that was Steve's father. Steve's father died the night we were setting up the show.
That would be like May 7th or May 6th, a couple days.
Something like that.
Right. And so what's that got to do with zoo?
It has to do with the thing before zoo with my father.
And I are one. Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and that list is was made at the last minute then. You see, that would mean he died before. It's released May 7th, so he died on the 6th, 5th, or 4th.
yeah, 6/5 or 4th.
Yeah.
3rd, 2nd, or 1st.
Okay, so there's some neat. This is really valuable, this document, you know, having these descriptions in detail.
Valuable.
Yeah.
I mean, valuable. Hey, you know, there is no value because it's so hard to bring it to bear. For instance, the church, right?
You read
about our headquarters. We still own that church. I'm trying to raise money just to so we don't have violations with the building inspector, right? It's a famous church, right?
Right.
Our historic headquarters. You think I can raise some thousands of dollars? Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, not so far, but... hey, the problem is if I don't raise it, and then, you know, and or if they don't raise it, since there are other people involved, they'll violate us, they'll close us down, and we'll have to demolish it. Now, that's... You know, and if we don't demolish it, they'll demolish it.
We'll get that on tape, but first call Stuart Brand or Brockman, especially Brand. He's got money. He can donate.
Hey, Stuart Brand is not my friend any more than Ted Carpenter is.
Did you have a problem with
him? He's never admitted any obligation or debt or influence about us going us and the church, although... It was obvious, I never told you the story about when I first read Home Think. I didn't tell you that story about Stuart.
I don't think so.
Okay, so I'm right on after Rollo May, right?
Yeah.
It's in San Francisco, the only time the Reality Club met in San Francisco, or outside of New York even, and Stuart comes up to me as I'm going up to read this poem. He says, "Garrett, you know, I'm sure it's going to be a great poem, but I think I'd rather sit out in the sun at Fisherman's Wharf." We were in a motel right by Fisherman's Wharf. He said, "You don't mind, do you? You know, so this is on my way to the podium, right?"
Right. You
nice guys finish last. Fortunately, I read the thing which I had just written, and it is a very important poem about, instead of writing things down, you know, thinking poems. So Heinz von Forster got up afterwards, and he said, "Now, this is exactly what our young scientists need, is this idea how to think rather than just go to class and study, and I'm going to publish it in the Cybernetic Journal," which he did. Unfortunately, the Cybernetic Journal didn't last too long, but the issue that the poem is in has a fantastic essay by von Forster, who died just recently, called To Know and To Let Know. I never sent you a copy.
I have it here. I'm going to read Poem Think. I guess it's a good time to read it. I'm now, since you said the story about Stuart, yes, you did say that a couple of sessions ago. We have that. But it's good to get it again, introducing us to Poem Think. One thing, what problem did you have with Ted Carpenter?
I thought I told you that story, too, the one about Carlos Castaneda.
Right, and I think
that was
first
one of
that.
The problems. Yeah, you know.
Well, let's do the poem, since we may have brought that up.
But also his paranoia about Marshall, that all of Marshall's ideas were his.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. You know.
Well, you know, he in that the appendix to Don Field's book, he claims that he wrote part of Understanding Media.
Oh, why not? I mean, maybe he thought it and wrote it. Maybe he even printed it and published it.
Okay, so there was Ted. About Stuart Brand. So you guys told him about the human being, and he probably had something to do with the January 67 human being, right? I mean,
sure.
Yeah, the famous one.
No, we didn't tell him. He was around.
And he heard the phrase and then used it.
He was part, he did a, He worked with Usko for some years.
Right. Was he at this Riverside Museum? Was he part of the...
Yes. No, he wasn't part of it, but he stopped by on his way east-west or something or other.
Right.
At the time, he was still married to this Indian, American
right.
Indian lady, Lois.
Okay. Yeah, we mentioned that before. Okay, I'm going to read... thankfully, you sent me a Xerox of Volume 1, Number 1 of Cybernetic, Summer, Fall, 1985. And on the cover, it shows someone standing and looking down at the issue, and the issue has the cover of the person standing looking at the issue, so it's an infinite mirror effect. You remember that? Well, yeah, you know the cover.
Of course I remember.
Now, it doesn't seem, unless you, I've got here page 4950, so you didn't send me the whole...
Oh, I didn't send you the whole thing.
The whole issue, because it has...
I didn't send you Heinz's...
Yes, you send Heinz's article, but it doesn't have the title, so I might have missed the opening page.
The opening page is... I do not perceive a library as a bonum librarium copia. Or on the top there's a thing which says, I see in a library the most awesome manifestation of the traces of our civilization. That's the first page.
Oh, I have that, but it doesn't have a formal title.
No, it doesn't have a formal title. I don't copy everything. I just copy the necessity.
And what was the title again? To Know?
To Know and to Let Know.
Oh, okay. All right, so here is Poem Think, P-O-E-M-T-H-I-N-K, one word, by Gerd Sturm. And so this was probably written 3 to 4 months before?
Oh, maybe nearly a year before.
Okay. So 1984, the Apple computer is invading the market in 84, and Gerd writes this. It says Poem Think, and then it begins... is a process, it's not a capital I of is, it's like continuing from the title. Poem Think is a process I can describe but not demonstrate for you. I'm going to put in the colons, or should I just do the audio?
Just do the audio.
Okay.
I mean, the colon means stop, right?
Right, okay. Poem Think is a, let's start again. Poem Think is a process I can describe but not demonstrate for you. Describe but not demonstrate. First, about think. Do you know much how you think? How other people thank, thunked, thoughted? How conscious thought? Your thoughts. Can you hear yourself thinking? You can? One way of thinking? An only way? If you can hear it, is it in words thinking? I don't know if I think that most thinking is in words or can be heard, but the think, poem think, I'm describing, not demonstrating, is in words. And when I poem think, I can hear it, inside hear it, if that's hearing. Sometimes I even catch myself moving my mouth, though I'm not speaking out. Not out loud speaking. There's not a large literature on the mechanics of think as something to learn. There's lots on thought of all kinds, but how to think, to use the generators, switches, crossings, pardon the metaphors, semaphores, phosphors, just how to think. Have you conversation, communication, learning on think process? The next jump, with care in the presence, personal history, recollection in collection. That's recollection in recollection. Ever since before then when, it's been necessary for me to write down words, phrases, poem parts, wholes. Once up on that time, I thought, felt, heard, near that threshold where there's just so much you can remember and you write to not let it spill into forgotten. As I in bed lying, about to get up and grab for extensions, paper and lead, overstood that this moment with these words, moment with words all mine, connected me circuit, me hyphen circuit, around the positive amplifying looped feedback to me circuit, contact was and is. Contact is the only love circuit. In bed then with my unnamed poem think riff. Maybe that's in bed then with my unnamed poem think riff. Vanished, disappeared, but recognized. Evanescent, I think you mean evanescent, spelt wrong.
Evanescent. Right.
Yeah. Evanescent artifact, trace element, flashing imagination scan, follow or not to be, motion, enormous scale, off the balancing act, between now and then. Sometimes you can keep it to yourself, 1 to 3, forever. Life, this time around, provides plenty more or less alone time. For instance, driving, waiting, being, and a lot of time around others, not with them, enough moment inertia, language compatible with your head for poem, think, mind wear. You, programmer, artificer, word stringer, however many you can fit, squeeze, allow in this, that moment of poem, think, consciousness. Along a thread through your maze head on stretched, condensed line, jump rope words for each point in figure. Nude of speech, geometric, catch it when it falls into your head, wrap or trap it, and go for it. Reach high over, one follows another, piggyback, jump brother in the presence of a word care, center as in pot wheel or scatter seed. You a mother word grabber, only if you do, poem, think, poem, think. I get turn the page. How's it sound so far?
I think it's just wonderful. I just can't believe how well you read it.
Okay, good.
It really turns, I mean, you know, I'm used to reading it. I'm used to thinking about how to read it. And you read it like I think about how it should be read.
Great. Well, let's continue. Stuck on a noun in your deck, pinstripes and single-breasted. A little tight ass like the tropian cow by the stream. Plop it go, loosen word rain, or chop him into alpha bet. Any foreign language, especially those you don't know well, a poem think fountain. Why? If you don't like it, you don't have to do it. Not like drugs, something you can't make up your mind about without trying. Poem think, a totally different head than poem write, speak, read. Having described, not demonstrated, poem think. Having described, not demonstrated, poem think, others have tried it, liked it, and not changed, added, used, it replicates. There's that how many question of holding like a bowl. How many letters, words, lines can you maintain? Juggle, transform, and back out of momentum to loop the Mobius strip, Klein bottle, Ryan tube topology. There's Paul Ryan. Ryan tube topology. So he had, oh yeah, that's the 80s. So he had that for a while, right?
The
Ryan tube topology. Are you coming along? Now, what's interesting, just a little side thing, Gurr just the other night went to Paul Ryan's works being donated to the Smithsonian or bought.
I don't know if they were donated. They were acquired.
Yeah, acquired. And there, Gerd reconnected after 40 or so years with Terry McLuhan, one of McLuhan's daughters. So that's the Ryan tube. And we talked about Ryan last week. Okay, Ryan tube topology. In the list of the Mobius strip, Klein bottle. I've read some of Ryan's books, and I remember him talking about the Klein bottle. Okay, Ryan tube topology. Are you coming along or copying? Are you in poem think? Let's take five. First poem thinks for everyone. Take whatever you had, weigh it as experience. Could this become something truly meaningful in your life? Get into it, off on it, rub-a-dub poem think? Not a blanket or a towel. Tell the truth. Now, this got a little quote, a little asterisk. Tell the truth. I don't know what you're leaving out there.
Huh?
Yeah, it has a little apostrophe before tell, as if it's retell. You know, it's like the apostrophe indicates you're leaving something out. Maybe a misprint.
I lost my place.
Okay, not a blanket or a towel. Tell the truth. There's no weight when you're carrying poem things.
What? Where on the page are we?
Oh, you're following. This is the second page, middle column, at the top.
Middle column.
Second paragraph from the top.
I got it. When you're, what are you asking about?
The apostrophe in front of tell. Tell the truth.
Oh, not a blanket or a towel. To tell the truth.
Oh, leaving out two. Okay, to tell the truth. Not a blanket or a towel to tell the truth. Or not a blanket or a towel, tell the truth. Let me see. Not a blanket or a towel, tell the truth. There's no weight when you're carrying poem think, because the only rule is to let go when you're through. Don't hold, write, store. Memory's both a virtue and a vice. And that could, don't hold, write, store, it could link to memory, right? It could link continuing.
Yeah.
Right. Or be a new sentence. Don't hold, write, store. Memory's both a virtue and a vice, as the Roshi bakes. Pun on Roshi Baker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Rebbe comes. Well, he had orgasms?
The Rebbe is, yeah, 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 okay.
And the Rebbe comes, years ago I quoted, quote, if you can't count, don't blow. For poem thinking mind wear, counting is slowing. Bubbles is more like the kind of blowing it is in your mouth like pebbles, in your head like poem think words. A few rattling, reassembling, daisy chaining, huggable, untouchable word S's, word capital letters. It actually could be untouchable W-O-R-D S's, right? Not necessarily. Right in the middle part of the second column in the section memories called the virtue of the very bottom.
Yes.
Huggable, untouchable.
Well, no, W-O-R-D-S is word S.
Yes, but they're kind of separate. They could be separate.
Yeah, because I was pronouncing them one at a time.
You were going W-O-R-D-S.
Yes.
Okay. Huggable, untouchable, W-O-R-D-S. And S's is E-S-S-E-S. But there's a limit. Interrupt us. Poem think no regrets for lost nuggets, shards, a word for each eye behind the retina, with fists against closed eyeballs, phosphoring in the Rodin pose. The poem thinker added. Now, that you have capitalized poems, so that's representing Rodin's famous sculpture of the thinker, right?
Right.
You ever heard McLuhan's joke about that?
No.
When the artist, when Rodin finishes, he says, okay, stupid, you can get down now. Okay. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. It then continues. If you're remembering, you're doing it. You're not doing it. If you remember, you can do it. Do it. Now you read that. I don't know if I got that right. How would you read that? If you're remembering.
If you're remembering, you're doing it. You're not doing it. If you remember you can do it, do it.
I'm not getting any of that kind of inflation, but that makes sense. Okay.
I think you're doing a good job.
All right, I'm going to try to think about that, the way you did it. Jump cut or fast fade, why not try a hexagram? Barnstorming was also a popular pastime, like Mahjong. Still on your first poem, think, have another quickie. On the house, N-O-W. Take the no out of now. Now. Then there's a dot, 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 meaning a gap. Now, what did you do at that point? Have a long pause?
Yeah, because now instead of, you know, kind of riffing, I'm now going into some kind of academic research, which I did, and this was, remember, this is way pre-Google.
That's right, and you're quoting. These are your footnotes.
I had to do this because I had just written this very quickly, and I was on my way to San Francisco on the plane when I finished it. But I somehow spent a couple of days looking up these things, and God only knows how before Google.
Yeah, and you looked it up before you read it.
Yes,
yeah. So. So what I've just read is what you wrote on the plane.
Yeah, that's mostly what I wrote on the plane. Not all together. The beginning of it, I had written that in the middle of the night.
Okay.
And where was I? I think I was in my home in Massachusetts. But when was it? 61?
84.
Yeah, I bet it was in Massachusetts, yeah.
What part of Massachusetts? Boston?
Well, outside of Boston, where, what is the name of it? Near Tufts. You see, I can't even remember the name of the town that I lived in.
That's with Sally.
Yeah, with Sally.
Right.
And Michael and Adrian in the same house.
Oh, yeah?
And 10 Boston Avenue in Medford, Mass. M-E-D-F-O-R-D, Medford.
And that would be in 84, because I've been to Medford. I went there to play hockey in 66. We had this exchange group, and we competed with these people in New England.
And
with the Maritimes, we had a competition. And I was thinking, is he going to say the name of the place that I know outside Boston? I couldn't remember it, but you said it.
I said it.
Medford.
It's Medford. It's synchronicity.
Yes. Or, as
How would you like to have a place named Synchrony City?
Synchrony City.
City.
Yeah, sync or knee. You could say S-I-N-K. Sync or no knee. Okay, so you have this. So this is like Eliot. Remember he added the footnotes to the Wasteland?
Yep.
Yeah, this is like your Wasteland footnotes, your sources, to justify this riff. And, you know, when I read this before, I thought poem think, to me, is what you're describing is exactly what McLuhan meant by tactility.
Tactility.
The process of tactility, which is the way the mind works. You're demonstrating it. Or, no, you're describing it.
You know, takt in German.
T-A-C?
T-A-C-T.
Oh, yeah? What's that mean?
Da in Dreivierteltakt, three-quarter time, for instance, is Dreivierteltakt.
Ah.
Takt is time.
Interesting.
Right?
Okay. So this new part begins with a quote sign. Do words and thoughts follow normal rules or do they not? Unquote. Is poem think that question? Or maybe according to Hofstadter, poem think is an isomorphism, an information preserving transformation, more likely Ovidian metamorphosis. Now tell me the difference. Which is one of the connections between words? Actually, it's not the poem thinking words that really get to you. Give you the juicy joy of insight breathing together, but the web, connective tissue, intervals, silences, voids. Poem think, : how to just keep it going inside for your myself, not really enough play to get your bearings, not enough happening for keepsake, insufficient nutrition for the spirit in media res. The Latin phrase, in media res. I-N-M-E-D-I-A-R-E-S. Which means in the middle of, right? For keepsake, insufficient nutrition for the spirit in the middle. According to William James, quote, much of our thinking consists of trains of images suggested one by another of a sort of spontaneous reverie, which leads nevertheless to rational conclusions, both practical and theoretical, unquote.
Yeah, but in the middle is more than in the middle, right? It's more like...
That's tactility, always in process. Never stopping, constantly interplaying, interpenetrating, and imminent, I-M-M-A-N-E-N-T.
Imminent, right.
Yes.
Exactly, imminent.
Yeah, imminent, yeah.
I used that word recently, imminent.
Okay. Jung, next paragraph. Jung has thinking divided, quote, active, an act of will, passive, a mere occurrence, unquote, and writes, thinking, turning the page, thinking brings the content of ideation into conceptual connection, linking up ideas to an act of judgment, whether intentional or not, unquote. Jung quotes Baldwin, quote, the individual must use his old thoughts, his established knowledge, his grounded judgments for the embodiment of his new inventive constructions. He erects his thought, in logical terms, problematically, conditionally, disjunctively, projecting into the world an opinion still personal. Thus all discovery proceeds. And
could you hold on a second?
Okay.
Hello.
Okay, we're ready?
My mother wanted to know whether I put the garbage can out.
She's still on duty. And making sure you're working too. Yep. It's right down to the end, right? But she has to brush her teeth. Got to keep everything on civilized. Yeah, you have to keep everything civilized right to the last moment. Okay.
German Jew.
Yeah. Okay. That's all discovery proceeds. End of quote. And Wundt, quoting Wundt, quote, a further important consequence of the interaction of sound and hearing is that many words come to lose their original concrete significance altogether and turn into signs for general ideas. In this way, abstract thought develops. Unquote. And Anatole, how do you say it? Anatole?
Anatole.
Yeah, and Anatole France, quoting from him, what is thinking? We think with words, the perfected cries of monkeys and dogs, onomatopoeic cries of hunger, fear, and love, to which have become attached meanings that are believed to be abstract, unquote. High head start, drawing away from, abstract, coasting between the edges, information, out of formation, words fly, try, poem think. Are you saying to us to try poem think, or the words?
Yes, absolutely. In other words, after abstract, I should have put another three dots.
Ah.
But now we go back into the riff.
Okay, coasting between the edges, in formation, out of formation, words fly, try poem think. As recreation, sport, pursuit of words, stepping stones, poem think way, time passing, concentrating, climactic, aware, magnetic practice, words to and from, poem think, edutame. That's well before infotainment, right? You got a word there that people probably weren't using until later.
That's right.
Yeah, edutame, elevate consciousness, expand, contract. It's one word, expand, contract. Blessed aha syndrome. Me and Walter Boward talked a lot about the aha syndrome. Blessed aha syndrome. Down and out with it. Take full count. Instant word. Pattern recognition. Poem think. No end of word tenses. Meaning sound. On the going to come. Trigger stroke. Description. Not demonstration. Aren't you ecstatic? You have the rest of your life to poem think. No, I wouldn't call it a kind of meditation. True, I do think just about anyone can do it. Maybe it's something like whatever the name's idea is about. Yes, open to questions, advice, insight, love, peace. It is possible that it is possible. It is possible that it is possible. It is possible that it is poem think. Very good, Garrett. It's a good poem, man. I think you summed it up. The computer age.
Well, hey, I mean, it is a good poem, and good poems disappear.
Yes.
It has never been anthologized.
Well, we just did it in a longer medium, the internet.
Yes.
It's going to be here forever.
1, 2, 3, forever.
Yeah. And I think about William Irwin Thompson. He used to write in the 90s about how the cognitive process began to be studied, you know, in the 40s, 50s, and 60s as the cybernetics gang came in and all other ways of exploring the drama of cognition. McLuhan called it Ginsburg and drugs. But this poem was about the drama of cognition, which is tactility, which is everything you can say about thinking, and it's the great mystery, and you're pointing out the democracy of it and the democracy of thinking.
Yeah, well, the poet, you know, the root of poet is maker.
Yeah.
Poem think maker. I mean, really, what I'm not saying is never write a poem down, but I'm saying this is an alternative poem think methodology, which is a very interesting thing, and I still practice it, you know.
Yes.
From time to time, and it's a great thing to do while you're waiting. Now, I have done little experiments with poets to find out how many lines different poets can remember. You know, it's not like memorizing. You can memorize a poem, and you know, actors are very good at memorizing. I'm not so good at it, but when you're writing a poem, trying to remember how many lines you can remember and exactly remember, because it's so important to have the phrase right and not substitute a two for a four or, you know, an
yes.
off for an on. Most poets can't do more than like four lines at a time. I can't.
You mean when they recite it? Is that what you're saying?
No. When they recite it, when they're writing it.
Oh, and you mean you have to have a break?
Well, no, you have to write it down, because otherwise, after the fourth line, you go into the fifth line, and like something in the second line disappears, you know?
This is as you're thinking it.
Yes, as you're basically making it.
Yeah, you're not writing it down necessarily.
No. Well, if you're poem thinking, it doesn't matter that you're not writing down because you're just poem thinking, right?
Right.
But if you're writing a poem, which is what I usually do, and I do it nearly every day of my life, you know.
Yeah.
So I can't keep it in my head for very long, is what I mean.
Yeah.
For instance, if I'm driving, I'm going to have to stop and write it down, or I have a little pad on a, you know, one of those rubber things that I sometimes write even when I'm driving. But otherwise, you know, something that doesn't get that down right.
Well, listen to this. What comes to mind is if we take the four lines as four thoughts, four phases, you've got the tetrad, McLuhan's tetrad. And that pattern, when you move beyond that, it falls apart. And then you got to make another tetrad or four phase.
Exactly. Memory is a technique, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe you could learn how to do more and hold it somehow. But, of course, the model that the computer uses is a model that is very different than ours.
Right. Now, if a tetrad means something new occurs to you, then that obsolesces what was old or what,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then the new thing retrieves another thought that has new meaning that was obsolesce but comes back. So you go, okay, I got a new thought. Oh, that reminds me of this, and that idea is shitty. And then it'll flip into a new thing with opposite characteristics. There's the four-part process. Now, if you go to the fifth level, you can't hold the four phases together. You know what I mean? You can't remember it. Unless you maybe if you understood it was a tetrad, you might be able to remember it.
From association to obliteration.
Yes. Because the new thought obsolesces what you were thinking because you get excited in the new thought. And then that reminds you of an interesting thing that resonates with it. And then
so if you're a poet, you know, if you're a philosopher, right, or if you're a theoretician, or what are you going to do? You're gonna save it, you know?
Yeah.
Or you're gonna keep on going. Now, the interesting thing about drugs, particularly psychedelics, is that you're going so fast that there's no hope of recording it, right?
Yeah.
You're speeding through impressions which are polyglot, multiplicitous, and who wants to record it, first of all?
It limits it.
And who's capable of it? And you know, when you try, and many people have tried, and it comes out like gibberish, you know.
Yeah, like Fanning is Wake.
From gab to gibberish.
Now, did you have any herbs when you were on the plane? Or had you had a herb when you were doing this, writing this on the plane?
Had I had what?
Any herbs. Herbs.
Oh, herbs on the plane. No, not on the plane, but before the plane.
So you were a little stoned.
I'm often a little and sometimes more than a little stoned.
And yet you're often composing in the stoned state.
Yes, it's a trigger for me. I mean, it's definitely a trigger to put me from one set into another set, I don't know whether that's conditioning, you know. I mean, some people don't do that, but. I've done it for so long. I mean, now it'll be about over 60 years that I've been doing
it. I guess you could. There are not many, quote, dopers that have been around that long.
I don't know, but I mean...
You might be one of the oldest today.
And I don't use any more than I did then.
Right. You just need a little. Just to get...
All I need is... It's a trigger, you know. It's
right.
Not a, the last thing I want to do is get out of it, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know...
What do you mean get out? Get out of what? The last thing you want to do is
Get out of my mind. I want to be in it.
Right, so it gets you in your mind. It gets you surfing.
Yes, and some people want to be out of their mind.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right.
It's a question of intention.
Yes, you enjoy hearing your thoughts, hearing yourself talk to yourself.
Yeah, and it's, yeah.
Which is partly, I mean, this is an archetypal meditation, a meta-meditation about the thinking to oneself as you're thinking new thoughts and inspired by it, right?
It's a very, you know, it's got a spiritual edge to it.
Yeah.
It's, in Hebrew, it's kavanah, which is like intention.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, it's a sacred kind of practice to... focus intention.
Do you think cultures that smoke marijuana have that attitude? You know, for centuries?
Well, yes. I mean, certain parts of those cultures and certain individuals in those cultures, I think you can see it in various cultures. You can certainly see it in Sufism.
Yeah.
You can see it in all kinds of writers. You know, I feel like I can identify it. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, could, for instance, Tom Robbins not be a head?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Could, what's his name, Gravity's Rainbow?
Thomas Pynchon, yeah.
Not be a head?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, the other guy we're interviewing parallel to you, Dave Worster, who was got the LSD from Captain Hubbard, the Sandoz acid, in the late 50s in Seattle. In the middle 60s, Tom Robbins joined Dave's circle.
Ah, very good. I wasn't sure of that.
Yeah, no, he did drugs. Yeah. And definitely Pynchon did. Now that... Okay, now what I'm going to say about...
I mean, Tom Robbins, the last three... letters of the novel, right? Indigo, Indigoing, Indigon. Now, I mean,
yeah.
What a natural high, right?
Yeah. Now, look, when I talked to James Joyce, or the entity claiming to be James Joyce through the Evergreens, he, quote, I guess, confessed that he smoked marijuana a lot.
Hey, it's certainly a practice which... you know, I used to think that, you know, when I was young, I used to think that all heads were good people, you know, and I long ago gave that up. There's too many of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've certainly met a lot of really good people in that world.
Yeah. Joyce said that many people... to hide the fact he was doing marijuana, and I guess it'd be the 20s and 30s, he let people think that he'd been drinking if he was acting a little off, and so he encouraged the image that he was an alcoholic or a heavy drinker because he didn't want them to know what he was doing. That's what he said through the Evergreens. It's pretty interesting.
Is it Evergreen?
The Evergreens is the 6,500 to 7,000 entities that you would speak to when Michael Blake Reed went into deep trance.
I gotcha.
And they would bring in people from history that I could talk to. I'd request them. But I wanted to say this about Palm Think. I've been saying for, I don't know, 10 years or something, that McLuhan described the world at the speed of light, but once we got into the digital media and the post-media, para-media world, where there was no one particular medium other than the process, we are now living at the speed of thought. And so I'm going to say that this poem is the indication of moving past the speed of light into the speed of thought. And that this is why von Förster would like it. It's the effect of the digital world, which von Förster was part of. and it's an announcement of the process that every citizen gets into over the last 24 years, gets into this process mainly unconsciously, because we live such an, a subtle world now of interaction and thinking and constant replay and meta-izing about it. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I'm saying the poem Think is a democratic manifesto saying, hey, we're all doing this, let's become aware of what we're doing, and yet can we even demonstrate what we're doing? But the whole economy is based on it. The instant 0-1 transmission of thought. Remember, futures took over. That's just speculating on and betting on what a stock's going to do. That's just thinking, and you're typing and thinking. You know what I mean? That's what the digital world brought in. The tactile fingers typing and thinking and reacting. Poem Think. So you actually, your poem announces the movement from the society at the speed of light into the society at the speed of thought.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, you did it, Gert. And it's volume one, number one. And it's right in 1985. It comes out right when the people are starting to buy the personal computer. It really takes off with the Apple's ad in January 84 Super Bowl. That was the
announcement. Yeah, I think it was really not 85 because it took forever for that cybernetic journal to get published. Somewhere, I mean, in my archive I have letters from Heinz written back and forth to me. I wrote another poem for him, but it's certainly not anything good as that. It was after I read the essay. No one to let know. Anyway, I never spent enough time with him, which was too bad.
Yeah, there's a new, the documentary made a few years ago by a German student, a young person, where he links Brockman and Esslin and von Fürster and all the other guys that Brockman published with the Unabomber and the history of, see, the Unabomber was a victim of the other LSD tester at Harvard, Henry Murray, I think his name was. Have you ever heard of him?
Murray.
Yeah,
Murray was, I didn't know that Murray worked on LSD. Murray was a motivation psychologist who put together the TAT tests.
Yeah,
automatic apperception tests. And he was the mentor of David McClelland, who hired me. Now, David was the one who hired Timothy and Leary. But David didn't take LSD. I don't think that Murray was dead by that time.
Okay, let me.
Maybe it's a different Murray.
Yes,
I think it's the same one.
All right, I think it is. He was a guy like, you know, it's described here. He died in 1988.
Really, that late?
Yeah, he was born in 1893, so he was almost he's 95 years old.
Oh, that's the same one.
Yeah, he was founder.
Psychologist, right?
Yeah, he was an American psychologist who taught for 30 years at Harvard. He was founder of the
Boston. Yeah. He's David's mentor. David's dead also.
All right, well, he was founder of the Boston Psychoanalytic Society and developed a theory of personality based on need and press. He also was developer of the thematic apperception
test. Yeah, TAT. I worked on those tests with McClellan, trying to, you know, do mood studies using multimedia.
Right, that was what you were describing many sessions ago. That's what Intermedia did. Well, you worked with David, what's his name?
C. McClellan.
Right.
He was an associate of Murray's, and Murray was his mentor.
Okay, I'm looking
and
up.
He was a Quaker.
Okay, I'm looking up Henry Murray Unabomber, and maybe they mentioned the Wikipedia. I'll just see Unabomber. Okay, having returned to Harvard in 1947. Murray lectured and established with others a psychological clinic annex and was a chief researcher at Harvard. Alston Chase's book, Harvard and the Unabomber, The Education of an American Terrorist, tells of the MKUltra experiments in which Theodore Kaczynski is reported to have undergone at Harvard under the direction of Henry Murray.
Wow.
And they show the documents this German student discovered.
Oh, come on, I've got to get this with Ed Rosenfeld.
Yeah, yeah.
You must know about this.
Yeah, I'll try to find the movie. You probably can get it on Netflix.
Yeah, I've heard about the movie.
Yeah, the Unabomber.
I didn't know that Murray was anything.
Right, lucky this guy didn't find out about you, because you worked with Murray's understudy, so then you could be connected, and then you created Brockman and Brand, everybody. Garrett, you're the key to them MKUltra. you're like in Gravity's Rainbow, the zombie, the hero, remember? Slothrop, Tyrone Slothrop. He was inside this, all the psychological testing and this whole MKUltra kind of world, and he wasn't totally aware of what was going on, remember?
Yep.
That's you, Garrett.
Well,
the Forrest Gump of everything. Not only the 20th century art world, but the whole...
Do I get a lot... Do I have a lot of gumption?
Yeah, I can see, Garrett, when you go to court, when Mark Stallman gets you on the stand, there's going to be nothing but puns from Garrett when he answers his questions. Okay, so the... why did we get... we were talking about... Oh, so you got to see this movie because it fits into your opera format, because it links all these people to the counterculture, and it's almost a LaRouche and Mark Stallman view of the history of LSD and MKUltra. But Henry Murray is a big factor, and they find the documents, the actual test results and Kaczynski's name in them. They prove, probably the book does it. I don't know if this guy used that book, Alton Chase's book, but it's interesting,
What is the name? Chase's book?
Yeah. The last name is Chase, C-H-A-S-E. First name is Alston. And the book is called Harvard and the Unabomber, The Education of an American Terrorist. And I don't know if the movie maker used that book.
Probably.
Let me see if I can find the date of the book. If I have to go to Amazon.
It's all right.
No, but it'd be interesting. Amazon, Alston Chase. It takes a second. This is Gerd today, living today, making new patterns about himself. Alston Chase. A Mind for Murder, The Education of the Unabomber, and the Origins of Modern Terrorism. And then that's 2004, paperback, but in 2003, hardcover, Harvard and the Unabomber, The Education of American Terrorists. So the paperback has a different title, and that is around the time the movie was made. So I don't know if the guy used the book. Could have.
Of course he used it.
So the poem think is a cultural sign, the transition articulated. Now, collectively, McLuhan knew we were living at the speed of thought in the 60s, but nobody would understand that, so he just used the conventional term speed of light. But in my essay on McLuhan, I point out he was aware of what I call the android meme, which is life at the speed of thought. I would say the speed of thought that McLuhan never really articulated, though a close reading of McLuhan could see that, but the general image of McLuhan was not that. Becoming aware of that part of McLuhan is manifested in the early 80s by this poem, Poem Think. You're showing the hidden ground of McLuhan, and you're writing it in 84 when the famous documentary was made on McLuhan by Terry McLuhan's sister, Stephanie. That was on PBS in 84, 85, the same period. And it was a good documentary, and it sort of made people think about McLuhan, but overall McLuhan was not discussed in the 80s. It wasn't until Wired made him a patron saint that McLuhan got back into the zeitgeist. So I haven't read the Furster article. His titles are Pathology, Knowing, learning, computing, conviviality. Oh yeah, in the movie, in this Unabomber movie, they have an interview with von Förster, the director. The young kid interviews him, and he's at Esalen. And do you remember this? He had a bald head, but a big bump on his skull. Do you remember the big bump on his skull, von Förster, in the latter phase of his life?
No, I didn't know him in the latter days of his life.
Did you ever meet him?
Yes. What are you talking about? I just told you about when he.
Oh died. Yeah, yeah, right. But then, all right. So that's 20 years. So he dies in 2002. So that means the guy must have interviewed him before, must have been doing his movie in 99 and 2000, or maybe even in 2002. Right, so you didn't see him 20 years later.
No, I didn't.
Okay, so, all right, let's go back. We digressed up to the 80s. We're going to go back 20 years before. And do you have any stories or anecdotes about Richard Castellanets? Famous New York critic.